Luke 9:23-25 reads, "And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself?" Hello and welcome back to Think This Way. This is the podcast of Faith Bible Church. Today we find ourselves on episode 187. That really strikes me. Wow, that's a lot of episodes. Hopefully we have said something useful in there somewhere, surely. And if I haven't, then my guest today has. It is Pastor Andrew. Andrew, thanks for being here.
It'll take to at least episode 200 for anything really fruitful to come out of me.
Remarkable. Well, today I've titled this episode, Against Self-Actualization. And you'll see why in a second. We are talking about Luke 9, discipleship. This is a key passage on discipleship. And Jesus says that if anyone wants to come after him, let him deny himself. And I thought, I've got some questions for Andrew here, but I thought I would just start by noting that that teaching is not popular today, and maybe in different places and times it has been a little easier, a little more palatable. But especially with younger generations in America today, I mean, the watchword is follow your heart. The idea that you would deny yourself, which involves denying preferences, deny yourself, deny you. I mean, that goes against follow your heart, be yourself. That's what we say, be yourself. And I will say too, there is some truth in a statement like that we don't have time to get into. But just the whole essence of it, that's our culture. Be yourself. And Jesus says, deny yourself. Follow your heart, deny your heart. Believe in yourself, deny yourself. Don't let anyone tell you who you are. And Jesus is telling you who you are. You're perfect just the way you are. Jesus would disagree.
Drastically.
Drastically, but yeah, you're perfect just the way you will be in Christ the later.
The whole point of me being here is because you're not right the way you are.
Precisely. So this idea of self-denial, that's why I say against self-actualization. To take one more example of it, I think about LGBTQ today. And of course, we have just a really genuine love for people within this movement. You know, we don't want to forget that. But the movement itself is completely contrary to Jesus and to what the Bible teaches. And it's interesting because Sigmund Freud, so significant in the thinking of where we are today, he's really the one who led us to believe that our sexuality is the most important thing about us. And he did that in some weird ways with dreams and all that, which people don't follow today, but just that essential concept that your sexuality is who you are and should not be suppressed. And so if you're suppressing that, that's where your problems come from. And you can see the fruit of that way of thinking today with LGBTQ. Here is, you know, my perceived sexuality, and no one can come and tell me that it's not. If I feel it that way, that's what it is. And to try to suppress that is even dangerous, can lead to suicide or danger. So for Jesus to come and say to someone with homosexual attraction, which would be one sin among many, but for him to say, deny yourself, I mean, that sounds bigoted and certainly contrary to the spirit of our age. But I don't want to overplay this. I put a question in here for you, Andrew, to get us started. I mean, I'm emphasizing the contrast between where we are culturally and what Jesus is saying. At the same time, it is worth noting, self-denial is not an idea that's completely thrown in the garbage by our culture. There are actually pockets of self-denial all over the place. I thought I would just ask you, you know, even among unbelievers in our culture, there are certain kinds of self-denial that's valued. Could you think of any examples of that?
So we discussed it a little bit before the podcast started, and that military example is one that now is like striking in my mind because, you know, I was in the Army for 5 years, and every day of your life in that is a self-denial, but it's a self-denial for the country, which in itself is not necessarily bad. However, you know, you wake up way too early in the morning, you go run, nobody wants to run that early in the morning ever, then you go to your job, and then you go home for the day, and then you start it all over for you know, the very next day. And then at some point, someone hands you a piece of paper and says, hey, by the way, we're at war now. You're going to go do this. You have no choice. Deny any of your desires or where you thought you were going to go. You're going to go do this for the country. And that is generally looked on very favorably, especially today. You know, 60s, 70s, we can have a conversation about that. But today, it's looked on very highly. But then you also have examples like everyday life that people can connect with, you know, moms and dads denying themselves to take care of their kids or to, you know, make sure their kids are excelling in school or in baseball or in whatever sport they're in. There's a definite denial of what you want to do on a Saturday morning when your kids are in baseball. So there's lots and lots of different examples within society itself right now where you're denying yourself. It's looked on favorably. However, when we take a step back at the Christian perspective, like, what are you really denying in this? Are you denying yourself? And if you are, what are you putting on that you're denying?
Those are great points. Yeah. I mean, that's helpful to see that self-denial as a concept, like you said, military, parenting. Paul uses military examples for what the Christian life is to point out specifically to Timothy that kind of self-denial that's appropriate. The difference in the spirit of the age is that we practice self-denial where we deny one part of ourselves in order to get a different part of ourselves. So it's still self-affirmation. I deny this part of myself to get this part of myself. I want to look really good, so I will deny myself by going to the gym. So that is self-denial to lift those weights in order to affirm another part of myself looking awesome and being thought of as looking awesome. Now we move into the contrast. So there is self-denial in our culture, even among unbelievers, but what Jesus is calling disciples to differs because it is an absolute self-denial. It is not deny yourself to get another part of yourself. It is deny your whole self to get something else. I do want to start by asking you, as we really think about what Jesus is saying here, he says, if you want to be a disciple, you have to deny yourself. Maybe the first thing to ask here to you, Andrew, is he saying to be his disciple, you have to deny or suppress your personality?
Well, this question would be much easier to answer if I had one.
You've already done it, dude. Yeah, In the military, just got rid of it.
Exactly. He was very gracious in not instilling one in me to deny later on. No. There's not a call to deny deny your personality. What we see example after example in Paul's writings is that God has instilled personalities and traits and abilities and gifts in every single person. And we're not denying those things. What we're doing is using those things towards the will and the glory of the Lord. So the fact that we have people that can be funny in the church, it's an encouraging person. That's somebody that can come alongside somebody else that's struggling and encourage them and get them back on track in their wayward thinking. If we have somebody that is a logically thinking person, they can come alongside and help get somebody back on track that's maybe gone off the rails on their daily quiet time or things like that. Those are all personality traits that the Lord has instilled in that person for a specific reason. What's being asked here is not to deny personality, but to use that personality in the way that the Lord has called you to use it. Deny what you want to do with it and do what God is calling you to do.
Well, that's a perfect transition then into this next question follow-up, which is, okay, so if it's not denial of our personalities, then what is Jesus saying we have to do as disciples when he says deny yourself?
Deny our sinful desires. We have before coming to Christ, and even after coming to Christ, we're constantly struggling with this, doing what we want to do. Like we just discussed earlier in our culture, be yourself. I can't think of all the little catchphrases, but there's so many catchphrases for basically doing what you want to do. And what Christ is saying is no. Doing what you want to do is what got you in this situation in the first place. You need to deny what you want to do and put on the likeness of my son. Put on the likeness of Christ. Deny yourself and do what you're called to do through my word, what he has revealed to us to do.
Yeah, maybe a great example of that, just as you're talking, it comes to my mind. is the way culturally we think about marriage. Marriage is really on the decline. It has been for a long time, but it continues to become less and less popular. And part of the thinking on marriage today is you fall in love and you fall out of love. And when you fall out of love, then it would be foolish to remain in a loveless marriage. That's the feeling, a loveless marriage, because that would be denying yourself, denying who you are. And so people typically just divorce at that point. Or if they haven't married, which is why marriage is unpopular, because then it's a little easier to just cut the ties and go find someone else more affirming of yourself. Deny yourself would be, I have made a promise, a covenant, and it doesn't matter if there's no love in this marriage. I'll be the love in this marriage by being faithful for better or for worse.
I mean, you see that in Ephesians 5 with the call to the husband. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. So even in that, that's Christ saying, you husbands, deny yourself as Christ has denied, or as Christ has called the church to deny themselves in that unity with him. We are called to deny ourselves and look out for the best interest of our wives. Does that mean that I get to sleep in every morning while my wife wakes up and makes me breakfast? No. What that means is I get up early. I get in the Word. I start my day knowing that starting my day in the Word and understanding what Christ is calling me to do and renewing myself every morning, preaching myself the gospel every morning, is denying my desire for more sleep to make sure that my wife is better protected from the spiritual things that are going to be attacking her through the day. But what's also interesting about that is often in struggling marriages, the husband will go to, you know, Ephesians 5 and go through the 22 through 24, maybe touch on the 25 and go through that, but very lightly. But what they won't do is go back to Ephesians 4, which is the new life that we're called to. So what they won't do is go back to Ephesians 4, starting 17. Now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. And then he goes into putting on what you're supposed to put on. Guess what? Everything we're supposed to put on is the things that we're called to deny so that we can be more conformed to Christ. It should always be an outward reflection of Christ in what we do.
Well, I mean, well said. So it really is that denial of self, denying sinful desires. And some of those sinful desires are in themselves fine. I want to be respected. Yeah, that's, who doesn't? Yeah, that's great. The problem is, you've got your desire, and then you've got God's desire, and now you have to make a choice. I want to be respected, therefore I will yell and punch a hole in the drywall to be, and I'm sure your wife will respect you for that, but denying yourself, you know, even in our culture, it's popular to vent. Yeah, I just need to vent. No, actually, you had to deny. You don't need to give expression to the anger. That Ephesians 4, he talks about putting off clamor. But if you've ever been in a position where you're just angry and you want to vent it, you just feel like it's got to come out. No, you can deny that and submit to the will of God. Andrew, thank you so much for helping us understand self-denial here. You who are listening, maybe in the past you have been a venter. You have felt like you've got these strong desires. They might not be right, but you've just got to get them out there. It would be wrong to suppress them. Well, whatever the case in the past might be, may God help us all now to think this way.